Hi, this is Sarah O'Connell.
And this is Jonah Treeblosser.
Welcome back to another edition of Radio Rotary, made possible by Rotary District 7210.
Each week, we chat with your neighbors about great things happening in your community and around the world.
And today, we'll be chatting about eating disorders among teens, in particular, anorexia nervosa.
And our guest is a fellow Rotarian, and she's going to be talking to us about some very intimate personal family concerns that she had with her child. So we're going to say just welcome, Jane. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be here.
Well, thank you for sharing what happened in your family with our listeners and being a help to others who may have this kind of problem at home. So what is anorexia nervosa?
Anorexia nervosa is an eating disorder, and eating disorders are a series of serious conditions in which you're preoccupied with food and weight, and you can often focus on little else but that. The main types of eating disorders are anorexia nervosa, bulimia nervosa, and binge eating disorder. These disorders cause very, very serious physical problems, and when they're the most severe, they can actually be life-threatening. Most of the people who get eating disorders are females, but there are males who also have eating disorders. An exception is this binge eating disorder, which appears to affect as many males as females.
All right, let's talk about how you personally got interested in this. Tell us what happened at home.
Okay, let me just tell you, if I could, the history of my daughter. My oldest daughter was a very interesting child. She didn't like dolls. She liked bugs and insects and science. She was the type of child who every teacher would tell me was very intelligent and a delight to have in class, always well behaved. She was, however, overweight as a child, and having dealt with weight problems in my own family, I tried not to harp on it. We focused on eating healthy. We focused on feeling full. Mm-hmm. But I did say to her at some point, if it bothers you, we can go to the doctor and see what we can do. So at 10, she was starting to get ridiculed by some of the other children, and she came to me and we went to the doctor. At that point, she went on a very well-balanced, structured diet plan, and in true form, she lost about 50 pounds in about 9 months.
5-0.
5-0.
Okay.
So she was considerably overweight. And as intelligent a child as she was, there were also some bumps in the road. For example, at age 2, all of a sudden, she started to stutter. Also, she had to have her hair braided exactly in the same space in the back of her head every morning. And she also wore her clothes inside out. And she did that for about 3 years. It was almost to a point of being excessive. She would, for example, take her sock and stretch it out over her toes and under her foot and then jam it into her shoes. Now, she was my first child, and I thought, well, she's just a little different. She marches to her own drummer. What I didn't realize is that these were signs of obsessive-compulsive disorders.
I was going to say, it sounds a little compulsive.
Yes. And what I didn't know about that is that they come and then they go.
Uh-huh.
But what's important about that in terms of our story is that 40% of anorexic nervosa patients have OCD.
I never knew of that personalities.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Exactly.
I never knew of that
link. The way I'm going to define it, it's like they're clustered, similar to learning disabilities where you have ADHD and dyslexia. You might have two or three things happening at once. Mm-hmm. So there's a tremendous amount of research that is left to be done, and I'm happy to say is currently starting on trying to determine the biological aspect
of this
disease.
So did you feel that that was like a clue now that you look back on there, or it was a flag?
Yes. In fact, the what we ended up doing, I can tell you a little bit more about how we got to this point, but we ended up going out to San Diego for a special intensive training period for our family to learn how to help our daughter overcome the eating disorder. And the doctor that we met out there is named Dr. Walter Kay, and he's a leading researcher in eating disorders. And he's doing a study with 11 universities around the world, and they're looking at traits that might predetermine that these young women would have problems with eating disorders, in particular anorexia. One is that they have this need for perfection. The second is they either have a problem with weight or an obsession with weight. And the third is that they might be a little different, a little socially awkward. So the plan is, I think, that they're going to look to find what kind of a biological connection there is and what makes this happen.
Let's go back for a moment to your daughter's story, Jane. At 10, she's overweight. She loses 50 pounds by following the doctor's diet. When did you notice that she was going to the other end of the spectrum and being, you know, quite frankly, too thin? I'm not talking like my old Jewish grandmother saying, you look too thin, eat, fressen, kinder, fressen. You know, and everybody's got a mother, Irish, Italian, whatever, they say, eat.
Yep.
But when did it become a serious concern?
Well, what happened was she changed schools at 12. And at the end of that year, we thought we had done just the best thing in the world. She won 5 out of 7 academic awards. She was going into the 8th grade. She had been accepted at Phillips Exeter for 9th grade. She had received a grant for Hotchkiss to go to Hotchkiss for 9th grade. And things seemed to be okay. And then about 6 months later, we realized that she was... her behavior around food was a little unusual, and she seemed to be exercising quite a bit.
Now, when you say around unusual around food, can you be more specific?
Yes. It's almost as though she was very careful about the food she was choosing, and that in doing that, she was starting to eat less and smaller portions, and there were certain foods that she started to omit from her diet. And
Such as
anything that might have a visible fat, anything that might have a high fat content, carbs. She became scared of carbs. But now also when I would talk to her and I would ask her if she had eaten, she would say, oh, yes, I did eat. Oh, yes. No, don't worry about it. I'm not eating a lot for dinner now, but I had a big lunch. My child had never lied to me. And
yeah.
She was... This is an addictive behavior, and like an addictive behavior, they will hide to enable the addiction to continue.
Well, did you notice her, like, sort of wasting away, getting real thin? I mean, did you notice anything that concerned you with a mother, as a mother?
Yes, I did notice that, but it was a slow thing, and the way my daughter is built, she didn't look so very, very emaciated. She's tiny. She's about 5'2". And because of her build, she didn't look... I mean, she looked thin, but she didn't look like, oh, my goodness.
Like a skeleton.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So...
And you said she was exercising?
She was. And we were not aware of this. But, you know, it was so strange because I would be lying in bed. This was when we were aware that something was going on and we didn't know how to help her. But I just had this sense at night. I would wake up and I would think, I feel like she's awake and exercising in her bedroom. And that's basically what she did. She would get up in the middle of the night or in the morning and do 300 crunches, because the other thing about this, the other side of this, is besides the limiting eating or eating in strange ways, there's usually some sort of a purging activity, and often it can be exercising. So in other words, she would maybe eat a meal, but then she would feel like she would have to exercise for 2 hours to burn it off.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
And once again, the excessive exercising is OCD-like. So mm-hmm. you can see where things sort of came together,
you know,
here.
Of course, you know, doctors will tell you, watch what you eat, watch your weight, get some exercise, especially old guys like me. And at some point, though, it crosses the line.
Exactly.
And is that a bright line? Is it easy to see where that fence is, or is it sort of a gray area?
It's sort of a gray area. And you know what, Jonah? I sort of feel it's kind of like alcoholism in mm-hmm. that there are people who will drink and will become alcoholics. And there are people who will be drinkers and they will never become alcoholics. There are people who will diet and will never become anorexic. And there are people who will diet who will become anorexic. And I think that's the whole biological connection.
You know, we're going to find out more about this in just a minute. But first, let me remind our listeners that they're in tune with Radio Rotary on Hudson Valley Talk Radio and around the world by podcast on iTunes and at www.radiorotary.org. Also, in British Columbia, Western Canada, where A.J. Caleb, president of the R.C. Surrey Rotary Club in District 5050, is one of our loyal listeners. My name is Jonah Trebois, and my co-host is the lovely Sarah O'Connell, and we're discussing eating disorders with Rotarian Jane. Tell us, Sarah, who brings us Radio Rotary this week?
Well, this week, Jonah, Radio Rotary is brought to us by Rotary International, Rotary District 7210, and the Rotary Clubs of Arlington, Poughkeepsie, Brewster, Cairo, Congress Valley Cottage, Fishkill, Goshen, Highland, Hyde Park, Kingston, and Kingston Sunrise.
And we'll be back with more Radio Rotary after these important messages.
Alone, our reach is limited. No matter how great our intentions, on our own, we can only stretch so far. But at Rotary, we believe the right group of people working together can make our communities, our world, a better place. Rotary is a worldwide network of community volunteers dedicated to helping people in need. Learn more at Rotary.org. Rotary, humanity in motion.
For information about Rotary in the Hudson Valley, visit www.rotarydistrict7210.org.
Jettelson Giordano and Siegel, CPA PC, is a full-service accounting, tax, and business consulting firm.
JGS specializes in business succession planning, including ownership transition, management transition, as well as family and non-family transitions.
The JGS staff works alongside you to solve the problems of your specific business or personal situation.
JGS is conveniently located on Route 211 in Middletown, New York. To learn more, please contact JGS at 845-692-9500 or visit them on the web at www.jgspc.com.
Jettelson, Giordano, and Siegel, your essential partner in business.
It's Ribfest time.
The Highland Rotary invites you to their 7th annual Hudson Valley Ribfest at the Ulster County Fairgrounds on Saturday and Sunday, August 20th and 21st, starting at 11 a.m.
Enjoy live entertainment, delicious award-winning barbecue, and cooking demonstrations. Fun for all ages.
All this for just $5, and that includes parking and entertainment.
Save the date. Hudson Valley Ribfest, August 20th and 21st.
For more information, contact www.hudsonvalleyribfest.org. That's www.hudsonvalleyribfest.org.
Hudson Valley Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Sarah O'Connell, and welcome back to this edition of Radio Rotary. I'm joined by my co-host, Jonah Trebwasser, and today Jonah and I are chatting with a friend and a fellow Rotarian who will be known as Jane. For out of respect for her family. Jane is here talking to us about eating disorders among teens, in particular anorexia nervosa, and her personal story of her daughter as a young teen, developing this disease, basically, and her family's journey of living through it and dealing with it and getting to a point where there was a cure or a treatment available. And she has stepped up to share this very personal story with our listening audience. Also, to give us information if people are concerned about or have somebody in their family, of where you can go and what you can do seek the right type of support and help.
So get a pencil and paper, because we're going to be giving you some websites to write down. And just to recap
information,
what we talked about in the first half of the show, in case people are joining us late, your daughter had a weight problem in that she was kind of heavy set
all her life.
Right?
Yes.
She lost 50 pounds, 5-0. Under a doctor's treatment, which is a great success, but then she didn't stop. She kept losing and kept doing this behavior, which eventually, you know, really concerned you as a mother. So tell us, at what point did you seek treatment?
Well, we were going to the doctor because her school was calling, and she was feeling a little dizzy when she was playing sports. And, you know, we had the suspicion that maybe something was going on, but the doctor wasn't sure. We went to a nutritionist, and she said she was eating, and she clearly knew the right way to eat. We kind of danced around the situation, and I think part of that was we were in denial. But then what happened in a very short period of time of, say, 2 or 3 months, she suddenly became obviously very ill. She was starting to not be able to eat. Her behavior was erratic. And when you think about it, if you're not eating, you're starving your brain, and that affects your behavior. And we clearly knew we needed to do something. And then there was a very precipitous drop in her weight. At that point, the doctor recommended she be admitted to the hospital, which she was. She was placed in the pediatric ward because she was only 13. And at night, the alarm for her heart kept going off, which was a baby monitor, because her pulse kept dropping below 30. So she was very ill. Because she was that ill, she was immediately put into an inpatient facility in Philadelphia called Renfrew, which is a wonderful place. She went there. She restored some weight. And because of insurance, they have to come home. She came home. We had a very difficult time finding the appropriate care locally.
So is that the place that she went in Philadelphia, you
yes.
said? Is that, do they specialize in eating disorders?
They do.
I mean, at this point, had you identified
oh,
it
yes.
as an eating disorder?
Yes.
Did that happen when she was in the hospital, when her heart dropped?
I would say probably 2 weeks before, 2 to 3 weeks before that. Once again, this happened so quickly. It was so scary. But at that point, we were starting to look at this Renfrew Center to send her. When she went down within 2 to 3 weeks, she became so much iller.
It just happened so quickly, it expedited her entry there. Now, had she been in counseling prior to that?
Yes. We had tried some counseling. We had tried some nutrition work. But there was, you know, she was not getting any better. In fact, mm-hmm. she was getting worse. So it was scary. Her demeanor, her color, everything changed. Yeah. And clearly she was on the path to disaster.
Well, how did this affect you have two children, right?
I do.
How did that affect your other child?
Well, it was hard because my other daughter was 10 when this all started. And basically for 5 years, we went through this cycle of trying to figure out how to get her well.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was additional pressure on my husband and I as parents, I think, because we tried to make our 10-year-old's life as normal as possible.
But it really does affect the whole family.
It does.
I mean, the disease
the
is the whole family's involved,
yeah,
clearly.
All, and you know, the behavior is weird. I don't know how else to explain
uh-huh,
it.
Uh-huh.
And it's such a very natural thing to take food and put it into your mouth, and to not to be able to do that is just a very strange thing.
It's just against human nature.
Yes,
and
no.
One thing in the last segment that I learned that you made us aware of, Jane, was that often with eating disorders, there's obsessive compulsive. Other types of disorders, like obsessive compulsive, is coupled with it.
Yes. And sometimes depression, very often depression, and I think my daughter at that point was going through depression mm-hmm. as well.
And you say mood swings and whatnot. I'm sorry, Jane.
No, it's all right.
This is like girl talk right now. But
that's okay.
Mood swings and things. I mean, many of us who have raised teenage daughters would, that's a teenage girl for you.
I'm not going to admit that because my daughter listens to the podcasts. We have our broadcast intern, Christine Barbara, with us. And Christine, you never did that, of course not. No, she never had mood swings.
But, you know, no, I mean, mood swings are a little erratic behavior or sometimes a little fresh talk.
Exactly.
It can be inappropriate.
You don't love me.
Very appropriate. Yeah.
Yeah, and you don't understand
that's age appropriate.
Yeah,
things you would think. So it has to be a very complicated situation to put your finger on.
Absolutely was.
I want to explore one issue here.
Yes.
You mentioned in the first half of the show that it's mostly girls that undergo this,
yes.
mostly young ladies. And it happened started around 12, 13. Which is, of course, the time the girl starts to develop puberty. Did the doctors tell you that somehow that's related?
You know what? I have read that is a factor.
Trigger.
You know, to me, it seems like it gets triggered by many things. It can
uh-huh.
be the onset of hormones. Like in my daughter's case, she changed mm-hmm. schools. Lots of times it happens to young women their first year of college or the first breakup they have with a serious boyfriend. There's something that seems to trigger it. But what the doctor in San Diego taught us was that, generally speaking, there's a biological predisposition to this, and what will happen is something will trigger it to make it happen, and it's just a matter of time when it will happen.
Like other addictive diseases.
Exactly.
Correct?
Well, yeah.
So you mentioned this doctor in San Diego and a facility in San Diego, and I think that saved her life. And this is a little fast forward. So you have her back from Philadelphia, and then how did you end up in San Diego?
Well, you know, she came back from Philadelphia, and because because of insurance, the insurance companies basically have them leave as soon as they restore weight. So she came home. We looked to find support. She did outpatient treatment. She went to some local doctors, local psychiatrists and psychologists. And it just, people, I don't know if they weren't educated on eating disorders or whether my daughter was just so resistant to treatment, but nothing was working. So she continued to have behavior. We had pulled her out of school. We put her in another school. We were trying to accommodate her as best we could. And things were not getting better. At one point, my husband came in contact with a Dr. Walter Kay through his work at IBM. And Dr. Kay had told my husband that he was thinking of starting a program in UCSD, a 5-day intensive program to bring the family in to teach us something called the Maudsley approach to eating disorders. Now, the Maudsley approach is a family-based therapy, and it was developed at the Maudsley Hospital in England. What they found is if they took control of the eating away from the patients and they took care of refeeding the patients, that they could make them well enough so that they could undergo therapy and then get help. Now, the way this works is, for example, if my daughter wanted to do such and such, I would have to say to her, if you want to do that, you must sit there and eat that apple. So I didn't physically force her to eat, but you find the key motivation that you can use as a bargaining chip to get her to eat.
It's a strategy. Interesting, the first thing you said about that place was they brought the family in.
Yes.
It's an entire
family
immersion.
Yes.
And 5 days. We have very limited time left, so I just want to get as much in there as possible. Can you tell our listening audience how to get in touch with that?
Absolutely. If you go into Google and you Google UCSD Eating Disorders Clinic, also there are websites you should look at. There's a Maudsley Parents website as well as one called Something Fishy. The very best book, the book that was the most help to us, and when you go through this, you read everything on the internet, you read all the books that are out there, people will tell you about books, but the book that really struck the chord with me was a book called Help Your Teenager Beat an Eating Disorder. It's by James Locke and Daniel LaGrange. And in that book, I realized that I could have seen earlier the symptoms of her eating disorder. And the sooner you jump on an eating disorder and try to work with it, the higher the chance that you will overcome it.
Just what we were talking about, how do you separate age-appropriate behavior from something that could be a red flag for a much bigger issue?
Exactly. And this book helps you see that. And it gives you strategies, and it explains eating disorders in a very sensible way.
And Rotarian
this
Jane?
This has been fascinating.
How is your daughter doing today?
Oh, I'm very happy to say she is going to be graduating from college next spring. She has a boyfriend. She lost 5 years to the disorder,
yeah.
So she's sort of developmentally delayed a little bit,
right.
But she's really here, she's happy, she's healthy, and we are so thankful.
And well, you're very brave to share this
right.
with us, Jane. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for joining us
on
Radio Rotary. And Christine Barbro, tell us, who do we have to thank for bringing us Radio Rotary this week?
Well, Jonah, Radio Rotary is sponsored by Rotary International, Rotary District 7210, and the Rotary Clubs of Millbrook, Newburg, New Paltz, New Windsor, Cornwall, North Rockland, Pleasant Valley, Port Jervis, Red Hook, Rhinebeck, Southern Ulster.
For Christine Barbro, Sarah O'Connell, and Betty Renner, our producer, Jay Verzi, our engineer, this is Jonah Treebwasser. Thank you for tuning in and inviting you to join us again next Friday morning at 9 for another edition of Radio Rotary, exclusively right here on Hudson Valley Talk Radio.
What would you do if a friend, coworker, or a loved one collapsed? Calling 911 alone will not be enough. Over 1,000 people a day die from sudden cardiac arrest. Many can be saved with early intervention. HealthSave offers CPR courses on a daily basis at our facility in Rockland County. We'll come to your home or business if you prefer. Call us toll-free at 877-277-6233. That's 877-277-6233. Or visit our website at healthsave.com. That's HEALTHSAV.com. Leave the E off of save for emergencies. CPR training is for everyone. Learn CPR. Become a lifesaver.